We're going to take a look in Philippians 3 today.
Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus had made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have obtained.
And it's interesting because Paul is giving his spiritual autobiography. Last week he talked about his past. This week we'll talk about his present. Next week we'll talk about his future. And it's interesting, he's used three different metaphors. Last week we talked about he was an accountant. He added up everything he'd ever done and he went, here you go, God. And he discovered that what you do doesn't cut it with God. It's only responding to what Christ has done. But later he said, okay, I count that all loss, but I am gaining Christ by faith. And that's what we saw, that the only way to get right with God is righteousness that comes from God by faith. Well, today we're going to meet Paul the athlete, and he is straining for the prize. Well, next week we'll meet Paul the alien, and you'll have to come back to find out what kind of alien he is. Anyway, Paul talks a lot in his writings about running as well as racing. And sometimes he refers to a foot race. But sometimes it seems like he could be referring to a chariot race. And I got to tell you, chariot races would be a whole lot more exciting and dangerous. But that gives a little different emphasis to the passage if that's what Paul is talking about. Because we're going to see in just a few verses, he's talking about straining ahead. You know, if you are on one of those little chariots, you better hang on tight. And you better have your eyes ahead, because that would be incredible. One thing I want to note, though, is Paul, as he's talking about this race, whether it be foot or chariot, he is not saying that the Christian life is a lazy walk along a picturesque path. No, he's going to say it is a race, and it is an intense one. It's for all the marbles. It's really a life or death race. Not that the last one there doesn't live. No, the ones who are in the race have eternal life, and it is going to go on and on. You see, the race that we are involved in is for the glory of God. We end up getting glory, and glory. We become glorified because of what Jesus does, and it's real. And you know, I'm not saying though, this doesn't mean that sometimes our shepherd doesn't lead us by still waters and make us lie down in green pastures. It also doesn't mean we shouldn't get away to a quiet place regularly. Jesus himself did that. But it does mean we are to be all in when it comes to getting the prize for which God has for us. You know, Paul, in this passage in Philippians, he's writing to believers. He's not saying you must work really hard to be saved. He's already established the only way to be right with God is accepting the fact that only Jesus was right with God, and he went to the cross, he paid the penalty for our sin, and if we respond in faith and with trust and turn from our sin, then we can be saved. He's not saying you got to work hard. He's saying no. Once you become a child of God, be all in. Go for it. Seek the prize. It's interesting that in the Greek games, the athlete had to be a citizen. The Romans, most of their charioteers were viewed as lower class kind of people, and they weren't citizens. But sometimes what they could do is if they won enough races, they could earn enough money to buy their freedom. So it's interesting, though, I think Paul's probably referring, if he is, to chariot races, because the Greeks were always, to Greek ones, because the Greeks were citizens. You know, we become children of God. We have a race set before us, and let's run to win. Warren Wisby had some good insights, and I adapted his outline, and he said this: each believer is on the track and has a special lane in which to run, and each has a goal to achieve. If we reach the goal the way God's planned, we receive a reward. If we fail, we lose the reward, but we don't lose our citizenship. We're still going to heaven. Remember again, he's talking about sanctification, becoming more like Jesus, not salvation. Well, I hope that all of us are going to want to be winning Christians, that we will be involved, that we will seek the purposes God has for us. We've got to do it with God's help, and thankfully, he's there to help us. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, as we look into your word, I pray that you would challenge, that you would comfort, that you would give us insight. Lord, you had these written many years ago, and they're for our understanding as well. I pray that we wouldn't just take in and understand with our heads, but we would live out with our whole being. Help us, Lord, to keep going with you, for it will be worth it, and you will be with us every step of the way. In your name I pray, amen. Well, let's jump into our passage. In Philippians 3, 12 to 16, he begins, "Not that I've already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brother, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it." The first thing he's saying is, press on with dissatisfaction. Well, that sounds kind of strange. He's not dissatisfied with Christ in any way, shape, or form, but he's dissatisfied with where he's at. It's not meaning he's cursing his background. He's just saying, I'm here, but where I want to be is way over there. You see, Paul has been a Christian for several decades by this point. He's had some incredible experiences. Think about this. The risen Lord appeared to him, called him. He's actually a guy who's on a mission from God. He was given this. He's had visions and revelations. He's caught up to the third heaven. He's seen some amazing things. But Paul says, okay, I've gone through all those things. I've seen them. I'm thankful for them. God's given me insight. By this point, he's written a lot of the New Testament. But he's not saying, okay, I've done enough. I'm cool. I'm good. I'm going to take a nap. I'm going to rest for a while. No, he's saying, I'm not where I want to be. And I hope that's where you're at today. You're saying, hey, I've actually become more, a little more like Jesus. I'm moving in the right direction. But you know what? I'm not where I want to be yet. And none of us are. You know, it's interesting because he still said he only knows in part. He knows Christ, but there's more of Christ to get to know. He knows he hasn't mastered the Christian life. He isn't the Christian guru of all whatevers. No, he's saying, I'm still in progress. And guess what? I'm in progress. I know you're in progress. We're all in progress, but we'll get there someday when Jesus comes back or we die and go to be with him. It's also interesting, Paul was aware that he had a thorn in his flesh to keep him from getting a big ego, to help him to keep relying on God. You know, Paul still had some rough edges. He wasn't all there yet. Again, he was satisfied with Jesus, but he wasn't 100% satisfied with where he was at. You know, you see, and that's a real key for us. If we realize that we have a ways to go, that should really help us to be humble. I mean, if you think you got it all squared away, that's going to be reflected in your attitude. It's reflected in what you say and how you treat people. And guess what? The rest of us know better when we look at you. We're going, oh, yeah, you still got some work to do. I know that's true in me. And so it hopefully we should have grace. We say, oh, yeah, they're not there yet. I'm not there yet. Let's help get us together where we want to be. You know, had Paul spent a bunch of time while he was in prison looking at the other pagans in prison, gone, oh, man, these guys are not spiritual. They do not thank God before every meal. Or if he said, oh, these Roman guards who become Christians under my ministry, they still use bad words and have bad breath and don't take showers. I'm just so disappointed in these guys. No, had he done that, he would have been sounding like Mr. Stuffy, Mr. Self-Righteous. No, Paul was mature enough to know he wasn't as mature as he wanted to be. That's a good place to be. A mature believer realizes they got a long ways to go. And that's what Paul, of all people, is saying. And if he says that, wow, we should take notice. I'm not where Paul's at. And guess what? Paul is not satisfied where Paul's at. He wants to be all the way completely like Jesus. You know, sometimes people think they're hot stuff spiritually. Hey, look at me. I've walked with God a long time. I've done all these great things. I've been serving him. Look at my character, blah, 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 blah. Well, guess what? When people get self-satisfied, the scripture kind of addresses those folks. It's interesting because the Corinthian church was very gifted and they had a lot of wisdom. They did have a lot going for it, but guess what Paul wrote to him? I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly, mere infants in Christ. Ooh, that was cutting the legs out from underneath them. We are so wonderful. No, you've got a lot of growth to do, folks. John in the book of Revelation wrote to the churches there. The church in Sardis, he said, I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive. Everyone is telling you how wonderful you are, but guess what? You're dead. He wrote to the church at Laodicea, you say, I am rich, I've acquired wealth and do not need a thing. And then John added, but you don't realize you're wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. Ooh, every time we think we are something wonderful, God will give us a reminder that he's wonderful, we're not, we need him, and so we still have a ways to go. It's important that we take stock of our life, just like Paul did. He looked at his life and said, okay, I've got work to do. Well, guess what? So do all of us. When does the work stop? So when we see Jesus and he says, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into your reward. At that point, then you can go, ah, but until then we keep going. But actually, we won't take a break. We'll have perfect bodies, perfect energy, all kinds of cool things to do. Well, it's interesting. He says, I press on. Press on is like a hunter pursuing its prey. Those of you who have hunted know what it's like to pursue a prey. You know there's a bear out there or a moose or a rhino or whatever you're looking for, and you're tracking them down. And around here, hunting involves uphills, downhills, through the brush, over rocks, around boulders, over logs, through the, not around the poison oak, and all kinds of different things. It can be tough. It can be exhilarating. It can be exhausting. You get up early. You stay up late. And of course, you all know the fun just begins after you pull the trigger and the critter is ready to be harvested. Because then what do you got to do? Find it and then pack it out. It's a lot of work. But Paul's talking about, I press on. I'm going forward. I'm not going to let up until I find that thing. He is a go-to guy. He's a go-after-it guy. Remember, he was pressing on after the Christians before he became, this was Saul before he became Paul. He's like, I'm going to find them. It's those doggone followers of the way, that pretender Jesus. Well, I'm going to find them. They can run, but they can't hide. I'm going to get them. Oh boy, I hear there's a bunch in Damascus. I'm after them. Well, what happened to him then? God got hold of him. It's interesting in this passage, we read about pressing on twice and take hold, took hold, take hold three times. What happened? Jesus knocked him off his horse, got his attention, and let him know, Paul, you're pursuing the wrong thing. Start pursuing me. And then your commission is going to be go start pursuing others and tell them about me so I can take hold of them and they can take hold of me. You know, it's interesting, our relationship with God is a tag team effort. He's the major player, though. And we're told earlier in Philippians chapter 2, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. So we do have a role. This is our sanctification process of salvation, not earn it. But then he goes on to say, it's God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. It's God who's doing the work. After all, God opens your eyes to faith. He makes you alive, but then you're to do something with it. Now that I've made you alive, now that you're my child, live like it. Do something. It's interesting. You cannot grow if you ignore God. And you cannot grow if all you do is lie in bed all day. Neither one works. Trying to live the Christian life on your own power or by doing nothing, it's not going to work well. Jesus himself told us, without me, you can do nothing. Well, guess what? I can screw things up really well all by myself. But if I want to do anything good, spiritually lasting, it's going to have to be with Jesus. If God's not at work in us, we'll only spin our wheels. Thankfully, he is the one who takes initiatives. He grabs hold, and then Paul says, oh, wow, and I want to grab hold because he's already grabbed hold of me. This is a really cool picture. It's interesting that Wiersbe wrote, some Christians are so busy dying to self, they never come back to life and run the race. Others are so sure they can make it on their own, they never stop to read the word, pray, or ask the power of the Lord. We've got to do it in tandem with him. I love the fact that Jesus grabs hold of him. And if you are a follower of Jesus, it's because Jesus grabbed hold of you. In fact, it's talked about before the foundations of the world, he chose you in his sight. That is an amazing thing. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit said, I want you and you and you and you, and you're going to be mine, and you're going to come to faith in 1976 or 1984 or 1959 or maybe 2022. This is really amazing, but God had it all planned out. But once he takes hold of us and we take hold of him, we've got to remember there's still a lot of track ahead of us. This isn't just I did that once and now I'm good. This isn't, I got my ticket to heaven, now I can just chill at the platform. No, if you think that's all the Christian life involves, you better ask yourself if you're a Christian. It's not just punch your ticket and wait around for a while. If you want to grow, you've got to have some spiritual dissatisfaction. Again, not with Jesus, but with where you're at. Not to put yourself down, but just to say, I've got a ways to go. Well, the next thing we must do is press on with devotion. He says, but one thing I do, forgetting what's behind. It's interesting because I was looking up multiple sport professional athletes. There are not a whole lot of them. Yes, some make the minor leagues when they're in professional this or that, but only a few really go all the way. I think guys like Deion Sanders, Bo Jackson, Jim Thorpe 100 years ago, but there's not a whole lot, because if you're gonna be really good at basketball, you're probably not gonna be using the same muscles for baseball. And so you've gotta really focus your efforts and figure out what you're gonna do. You've gotta be laser focused. I was also thinking about summer and winter athletes. Can you name folks that participate in both Olympics? I can't think of any. You know, I guess because it takes different muscles to be a bobsledder and a high jumper. And archers do things, have a whole different lifestyle than, say, ski jumpers. And it just doesn't work if you're only training half the year. Well, Paul's exhorting them and us to, he's saying one thing, choose that one thing. And we find that in the Bible. Jesus said to the rich young ruler, one thing you lack. He said to Martha, one thing is needful. The man who received his sight said, one thing I know. And the psalmist said, one thing I desire is the Lord. Too many of us are involved in too many things. We keep busy organizing our sock drawer and sorting our pencils by color or size, when really there's more important things we should be focused on. And Paul says, this is the one thing I do. I am pursuing Jesus. You know, it would be great if we pursue Jesus as much as we do some other things. You know, a lot of folks are really into gaming or golfing, gambling, grilling, gum flapping, genealogy, garage sailing, which you can do. You have my permission later today. And or guns, you know. Oh, that's getting personal. But anyway, but sometimes our one thing isn't the best thing. But Paul is saying, my one thing is knowing Jesus better. It's interesting, a chariot driver, if you wanted to win, you couldn't just hop on the horse and go any direction you wanted. No, you had to keep your eye on the goal. And I think they'd go 7 times around those hippodromes. And I'm so jealous. Kim's been to 2 hippodromes in the last week. Oh, man, that's just so cool for her to do that. But she's actually gotten to see and walk where those guys go around and around in circles like crazy. But those guys were focused. They knew what they had to do. They didn't care about what they were going to have for lunch or dinner. They probably just hoped they'd have them, you know, they'd survive. But anyway, but keep your eye on the one thing. It's interesting, he says, forgetting the past. Now, Paul didn't completely forget the past. At times, he'd said, hey, I was the chief of sinners. He also mentioned, I was once a blasphemer, a persecutor, a violent man. But then Jesus came in. This passage is really not about forgetting, as in totally dismissing the past, but what it is saying is I want to move forward. You know, sometimes we apply the passage to dealing with the past so we can move forward in life emotionally, deal with our hurt so we don't keep responding the same way over and over again. You know, there is value to dealing with root causes in our lives, but that's really not what Paul's dealing with. What he's really talking about is his past victories and experiences and accomplishments. Hey, you know, I went through all these things. I've suffered for Jesus. I got caught up to heaven. That was a cool vision. Let me tell you about that. You know, I saw the risen Lord. He's not actually saying he forgets it all, but he's not going to let it stop him from doing what he now needs to do. I had a professor in seminary, Dr. Frost, and he was telling us about how when he was in the Army, he read through the entire Bible. And then he decided, I've been reading 3 chapters a day for the last 9-10 months. I'm going to take a couple days off and sleep in. Well, that's what he did. And soon the word got around his platoon and said, hey, what's wrong with Frosty? He is such a grump today. You know, he's been a jerk the last couple days. And the word got back to him and he went, oh, wow, it just doesn't do well to take several days off from God. He told us this not because he thought he was Mr. Wonderful, but because he wanted to just say, you know, when you stop, when you rest on the, I've already read my Bible once kind of deal, you get stale and the flesh gets stronger and the spirit seems to weaken. Well, it's interesting, since that time over 50 years ago, he reads his Bible 2 or 3 times every year. And he continues to learn. He continues to grow. You know, it doesn't take very long to get out of shape. You know, something happens and you get out of your exercise routine. Oh, and maybe you don't do it for a month. It is so hard to get back into it. And when you get, if you actually do get back into it, it's really hard to make any progress. Spiritually too, we know lots of folks that just stopped going to church. Well, they're still not. I'm thankful you didn't do that. I was talking to an old friend recently that I grew up with. Met him at the bus stop in kindergarten. And I was talking to him and I asked him, hey, would you like to do some Bible study? I know he was struggling a lot. So I said, we could meet on Zoom. And he said, no, I did Bible study fellowship 25 years ago. Well, guess what? His life's kind of a mess in a lot of ways. And he just wasn't interested in growth. And, you know, don't let that be you. But, you know, I've known some older talented saints. So I'm not picking on anyone in particular. I'm just throwing this out. Ask, hey, would you be able to help in the church somewhere? And sometimes the answer's been there, done that. Well, you know, that's okay if you have a new passion and a new area of interest. Or it might be because you're tired out and you need a break, you need to refocus. I get it. But it's not okay if you just say, hey, I did that for 30 years. I've done my time. Don't bother me. Just cater to me. Get out of my pew and get off my pillow. That's not okay. What you really need to do is say, Lord, okay, maybe I can't chase the little ones anymore. I can't get on my knees, or if I do, I'll never get back up. We get it. Or if you're allergic to dirty diapers, so am I. You know, I get it. Or whatever the case might be. But no, ask God, what would you have me do now? Because I understand things change. If you're not supposed to climb on the ladder, and your wife keeps telling you, don't come to the church and do it. I understand there's differences in life, but just because you did something once doesn't mean you just do nothing now. No, we're still in the race. Let's keep going. You know, that would make about as much sense as if Paul was in the chariot race and he does 6 laps and then he pulls over and says, hey, I want to see what else is going on. I'm ready for some Scooby snacks. Maybe I'll take a break. I'm tired. I want to take a rest. No, what's going to happen to him? He won't win, and probably someone's going to rear-end chariot collision with him. That would not be a good idea. Well, it says, press on with different direction at the end of verse 13. He says, straining towards what ahead. The chariots in that movie were Romans. The Greek ones were a lot smaller, with a really small platform, and you had very little to hold on to except the reins. You might be leaned on something, but you had to really strain and hold on to the reins. And that's what the word straining towards means. Stretching out is in a race. This is not like stretch, oh, let's stretch, let's get ready. Oh, let's try these. You know how like you tried to used to do, or ow, you know? That's not the kind of stretching he's talking about. It's either like going for the tape full bore or hanging on to those reins with all you've got. Guess what? If you didn't hang on to the reins in a chariot race real tight, you are going to have an exciting journey through the air and underneath someone's wheels. Doesn't sound like a good time to me. You know, if we want to be in the race, we are to strain ahead. And guess what? I've discovered it actually takes effort to get out of bed and read my Bible in the morning. How about you? You know, if I just stay there and say, I'm going to get out someday, that just doesn't work. Or if I say, I'm going to pray next week, next month, next year on vacation, it just doesn't happen. It actually takes effort. And Paul's saying, strain ahead, keep going, be in the race. Imagine if the chariot driver spent all this time looking in the rearview mirror, not that a chariot had one. He's looking back, oh yeah, whoa, bad accident. That would have been a bad thing. If we spend all our time going, hey, guess what I did last year, instead of focusing on what we got to have us do in the future, we will have a problem. No, don't get to the point where you say, I'm saved, so I'm good. No, say, I'm saved, so Lord, what would you have me do? Let's get moving. Press on with divine, with dissatisfaction. Press on with devotion. Press on with direction. And press on with determination. Verse 14. He says, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Jesus. You know, he's saying, I want to go forward. I'm pursuing the prey and I'm pursuing Jesus. I want to become more like him. You know, think about what have you been determined about? Some of you are determined to finish a project or to learn something or to finish something or to go somewhere. You've saved the money. You've worked hard. You make the plans. Nothing. Lord willing, creek don't rise. You're going to do it. You're determined to get there. Well, I know that when we walked to the bottom of the Grand Canyon a couple years ago, I was determined to get back out of it. because they weren't going to send a helicopter for a stubborn, wimpy dude that just didn't feel like walking. The only way out was to walk out. I had to strain forward. I couldn't say, but I already came down. Isn't that good enough? No, frankly, it's not. Paul is not saying we get there to heaven by our own efforts, but he's saying once you are a child of God, once you are a citizen, once you're in the race, keep going. And then it says we are to press on with discipline in verse 15. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we've already obtained. Every believer is supposed to be one of those, all of us who are mature. There's not supposed to be two categories. Oh, you can be mature, I'm just going to be a lazy slug. No, that's not what the Bible says. You know, we're all to be moving towards maturity. And he says, if you are, then you'll know that you're to be pressing forward to win the prize, which is becoming like Jesus. And that should be our goal. When he says he's mature, that doesn't mean sinless, but it means spiritual growth and going beyond infancy. I'm 3 years old. I'm perfectly happy to be here. No. Let's keep going forward. And he says, living up to what he's already obtained. Guess what that involves? Keeping the rules. If you broke the rules in the chariot race or in the foot race, you were disqualified. It didn't matter what you thought. It didn't matter what the spectators thought. If the judge knew you were cheating, you were out of there. Well, we are not going to lose our salvation. We're not going to get kicked out of heaven, but we can certainly lose our rewards. Well, let me tell you, our rewards in heaven are going to be amazing. 2 Timothy tells us, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. We all know about Lance Armstrong. He won the Tour de France 7 times in a row in the late 90s, early 2000s. The guy was a human animal on a bicycle. Amazing. And then it comes out, he'd been doping the whole time. He lost all his medals. The U.S. Cycling Tour de France is never going to invite him to lead the pack again. He disqualified himself. It's interesting. We're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Jesus someday. And the word judgment seat is the same word used for the prizes that the Greek judges gave out. Theirs were a laurel wreath, which would wilt, or some gold, which the guy would spend or have it get ripped off or lose or whatever. Ours is going to be our eternity with Jesus, being fully changed into to be like Jesus. Well, let's keep going. Let's not abandon the race. Folks like Lot and Samson and King Saul and Ananias and Sapphira, they didn't end well. Let's end well. So how do we succeed? Let's train hard. Let's work hard in conjunction with the Holy Spirit. If you're not already in the race because you haven't put your faith in Jesus, that's the best place to be. Forget forget the past in the sense of don't rest on what you've already done, but move forward. Paul, in a sense, really says, in Christ I have much. I have great gain, but I have no perfection in terms of my practical living. Thus, I must pursue it with all my might. And why do you do it, Paul? He says, to win the prize. How hard do you do it? With maximum effort. How focused are you? I concentrate on just this one thing. How dependent are you? I'm totally dependent on God. And what's the secret, Paul? I run towards him. I read his word. I talk to him. I seek to follow him. So here's the question. Are you pursuing the prize? Are you growing? Are you looking forward or backward? Are you moving in the right direction? You know, some of you may not be in the race, and I encourage you, turn your life, the reins of your life, over to God. Some of you may feel dry or like your chariot's going in for overhaul, or you may feel like you need to take a nap and you haven't been doing much lately. Maybe you're at the medic's tent or the snack bar, I don't know. But get back in the race. You know, the wonderful thing about a church family is we encourage each other, because we all know we're not where we want to be. But we come alongside and we help each other. That's why we come together. Each of you has a spiritual gift, and we use them to spur each other on. Where? So that we can slack? No, so we can move forward. Maybe you're not at a great place, but keep going. I want to encourage you. Press on with dissatisfaction. Press on with devotion. Press on with direction. Press on with determination. Press on with discipline. You know, a lot of people have died climbing in the Alps. They fall off a cliff. Ah, you know how that goes. Well, hopefully you don't, actually. But at the foot of one of those many mountains that's been attempted, a lot of times there's a little grave. And there's a tombstone of a mountaineer that fell off a cliff and died. And the tombstone's simple. It simply gives his name. Then it says he died climbing. That should be on our tomb. We died running. Not in a circle, not aimlessly, not backwards, but forward with Jesus. Hopefully we can say like Paul, I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I've kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to those who have longed for his appearing. Lord Jesus, help us to be in the race. Help us to go forward. When we need a break, Lord, help us to take that time with you. Help us, Lord, to walk with our brothers and sisters. God, if there's folks who don't know you yet, may they turn to you. Acknowledge they can't get to heaven on their own merits, their own good deeds, own works. It's only by faith in you. Help us to continue to challenge and help one another along the way. May we be more like you. In your name I pray, amen.